This program was paid for by Water of Life Church. From Water of Life Ministries in Plano, Texas, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is speaking through his servants to the world. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying today. Let us join Doyle Davidson and others of Water of Life, sowing the Word of God in spirit and in truth.
Hello, I'm Doyle Davis, a servant and apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering locally to the body of Christ in Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas, sent by God to your house to preach the gospel to you. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. We are talking about repent and believe the gospel. Repent is change your will. Have a change of your will. And you go from what you're believing to the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation. You want to say something?
From the lady we were talking about?
Yeah.
You had an encounter with a woman that... tell the story.
She was a client.
Right.
Of mine. And... her dad was an admiral, U.S. Navy, and her husband worked for LTV, and she was really brash, and she just loved for Baptists to come up and ask her if she was saved. When they come up and say, "Are you saved?" she said, "From what?" They just walk off. It's not from what only, but it's to what? To God.
But that's what we didn't know when we were in church. We would ask them, "Are you saved?" And if they had said anything like that, we didn't know what to. We'd mention the name of Jesus, and we'd mention good news, and the four spiritual laws if we knew them.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But we didn't know what the gospel was.
You know, I never had the pleasure to learn the four spiritual laws.
Oh, it was a pleasure.
I went to a dumb church. Hallelujah. Well, we left off yesterday. You read, Mark chapter 16.
Right.
Would you start over and be sure to start up where Jesus upbraided them because of their hardness of heart and unbelief. Apostles, can you believe that Jesus would correct an apostle for unbelief? Oh.
That had already cast out devils and
right.
healed the sick.
That's right.
Right.
Raised the dead.
Right.
Cleansed the lepers.
Right.
And they didn't believe. Let's read the gospel.
I'm going to read 16:14. Afterwards he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover."
And what happened?
And then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following.
But you know, he couldn't be working with them. He went to heaven. Well, that's the way dumb preachers act. Jesus went to heaven. Now, I'm on my own. Take this word. I won't do that. No. Oh, I will too. I had a Baptist preacher one time take my Bible that I paid $57 for. It's cost $125. And he took that thing and he folded it up in his hand. Oh, he said, "This book will preach." God, It never did for me. But he bent my pages and the covers. He wanted it to look like he'd used. And I wanted him to get his hands off my Bible. Come on, I repent. What are we going to do next? Oh, wait a minute, Mark 16. Go therefore, all the world, preach the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of every creature. We showed you that earlier this week, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4.
Right.
That is the gospel. How Jesus Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. He was buried, he rose again the third day according to Scripture. And they went everywhere and they preached the gospel, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And it said, and they that believe and are baptized shall be saved. And they that believe not shall be damned. And oh, that drives the Baptist nuts and make a Church of Christ so happy. Because they believe that you got to go under the water to be saved, born again, joined to the Lord. No, that's not what that verse says. You believe the gospel and then you're baptized. And guess what? You're baptized in Jesus' name into the gospel, into the death of Jesus. Otherwise, you're not baptized into the death of Jesus. And that's what that means. And guess what that does? Your spirit, if you're born again, is already saved. But this, water baptism, it saves your soul, will, intellect, and emotion, and your body. You know, I've said this many times. The reason people have problems with the old man is because they do not know what water baptism is, what it's for. Now we can go on. Oh, no, we can't. One time God told me to write Billy Graham a letter and tell Billy Graham that he had acted wickedly and cast God's words behind his back. That's what God told me to tell Billy, your favorite preacher. And so I wrote him just what God said, and I gave him these scriptures. And he didn't want to see these. Actually, I showed him some in Psalm 50. He didn't want to see these. But he had some doctor or somebody write me a letter for Dr. Graham. You got a doctorate, you need delivered from it. I had it, and I was, okay? And so he wrote back and he said, Dr. Graham's position is that you don't have to be baptized in water to go to heaven. That's mine too. That's mine too. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But that's just the spirit. We want to save the soul. James 1:21, we want to put away all superfluity of naughtiness, and received with meekness the engrafted word of God, which is able to save our soul if we believe. See, there's a lot more to this, folks, than just going, you know, whatever you do. I'm telling you what you do. Now, it says, and these signs follow them that believe. Believe what? Believe the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Did you know, I've never heard a preacher, not one, charismatic or non-charismatic, that believe that when you preach the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, that and you believe that, that one of the signs that would follow would be they speak in new tongues. I think it's cast out devils first, is it?
Will these signs shall follow them that believe in my name, they shall cast out devils.
Yeah, that's the first thing.
Right.
See, you know why you don't cast out devils? Because you don't believe the gospel. No, you don't believe the gospel. If you believe the gospel, I mean, the power of God come up in you, cast a devil out, and you weren't even looking for it. I mean, devils just come up to me, and I'm not even looking. I say, come out, you wicked devil. Out they come, screaming, shaking. Oh, one of the funniest ones was that Muslim woman. Oh, was she sweet. She came in the office one day. Patty was sitting in the middle office. I was in my office, and I heard this voice say, "Is the pastor here?" The pastor said, "He's in his office." By the time she got that out of her mouth, I was up on my feet, walked out of my office, and here stood this woman. I said, "Come out, you spirit of Muslim. Out in Jesus' name." Oh, she was a Muslim. And she started going like this. That demon was so bad. I said, "Come out there. Come out in Jesus' name." You say, "Do you get that loud?" I just did, for your benefit. And in a couple of minutes, she just stopped, stood there, you know, just quiet, easy. I said, "Could I help you, man?" "Well," she said, "I heard that you gave $100 bills away. And I thought I'd come over here and get me one." I said, "Well, you got more than a $100 bill. You just lost your religious spirit. And I don't have any $100 bills today." Last time I saw her, she was standing out here on 18th Street talking to people pointing to this place. So you think I'm scared of Muslims? Heck no. Cast the devil out of them. You know, God would not have a Muslim. Well, if I'd have been on one of those airplanes on 9/11, and one of those Muslims came and wanted to crash that plane, you know what? I'd have cast the devil out of him. And right there in the middle of the plane, we'd had a revival. But it wasn't the will of God for me to be there. No. 9/11 was a judgment of God on this wicked nation that refuses to believe Jesus. All right, cast out devils. Now, and if you believe the gospel, you will speak in new tongues. Oh, I don't believe you could need tongues. No, you need to believe the gospel. You believe the gospel, and you will speak in tongues. We're going to be showing you some things here in the days ahead. And this is on 6 days a week. So, was it 7 hours a week? 6 days. Maybe it's 8 hours. It's on quite a bit. Amen. So, you're going to be seeing some truth. And God will open your eyes and your heart so you can see what the truth is. Tessa, you want to talk?
Can I say something about baptism in the Holy Spirit?
Oh, of course.
I remember years ago, you said, you asked everybody in the congregation, "How many of you speak in tongues?" And I've been in a lot of charismatic churches, and if you'd have asked, "Raise your hand if you speak in tongues," you'd have maybe got a quarter of the church, maybe. Not very many. But they'd all show up every week. When you asked that, there was all but two.
Maybe two, but I thought one.
Maybe one, maybe two.
More than 300 people in here.
Right.
When I ask that question.
And you don't preach baptism to get the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Well, I don't preach tongues.
Right. You preach the gospel.
That's right.
And you told that person, "Just sit here and listen, and you'll speak in tongues."
Right.
And they did.
Right. And I'll show you that in Scripture. You know, people love to lay hands on people, get them baptized on the Spirit. Used to have a guy come to church here, and he just loved to get people speaking in tongues. So every time somebody wanted to speak in tongues, they came up here, I said, go with him. He'll come back speaking. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't come back believing the gospel. They didn't come back believing the gospel. Oh, God will honor what part of the word you want to believe. I believe the whole thing, the gospel. And you believe the gospel, and you will cast out devils. You will speak in other tongues. What's next?
Then they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them.
Yeah.
And they shall
take up serpents.
Right.
Paul did that in Acts 27 or 8.
Right.
He's building a fire. This serpent got him on the hand, shook it off in the fire. And the people said, "Oh, this guy is a viper." Said, "This is a great man of God," or "a great God," or something like that. No, I don't pick up snakes. I kill them. Thank God. All of them. And then, next, if you drink any deadly thing,
It shall not hurt you.
Shall not hurt you. Did you know this hour today, if you drink certain things, it is detrimental to your body. It'll cause you great problems. Did you know I drink and eat any and everything, and it doesn't touch my body? You know that?
Yes.
Doesn't touch it. It is...
Even my cooking.
I won't touch that one. Oh, good.
I've seen you bless it real well, but... No. I'm just kidding.
I won't touch that one. Don't tempt me. All right. And the next one, lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover.
Right.
This happens in my ministry. It happens in anyone's that believes the gospel. And if you're out here preaching, these signs will follow. And if they don't, it's because you don't believe the gospel. It is that simple. Now, Jesus told these disciples what to do. And we're going over to the second chapter of the book of Acts. No, this is not the singing group, the second chapter of Acts. They did exactly what he told them to do. Go preach the gospel. Amen. In Acts 2, start in verse 1. They preached the gospel. Well, wait a minute. Wait a minute. When the day of Pentecost has fully come, we're going to pass this at the moment. Amen. No, let's read this whole thing.
The whole thing?
Sure.
Okay.
How much time we got?
We have 15 minutes.
Let's read this whole thing, right up to verse 32.
All right.
I know.
39.
Oh, 39. Thank you. She reads well, and I don't. All right.
Chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. And when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born? Parthenians and Medes and Elamites and the dwellers of Mesopotamia and in Judea and Cappadocia and Pontus and Asia and Pygaria, Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Liberia and Cyrene and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meanest this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11.
That's good right there. God had promised them this.
Right.
In Luke chapter 24, we did that a day or two ago. Luke 24, after his resurrection, he brought his disciples together, and he opened the scripture to them and taught them from the Psalms, the law, and the prophets concerning him. And he told them about receiving the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he told them that they would go. He actually preached the gospel to them in Luke 24. And he told them they should go, and they would preach the gospel with repentance and the remission of sins. But he said one thing. He said, you wait here in Jerusalem until you receive power from on high. Don't you go out preaching without it. And they did just what he told them. And the day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were all in one accord, with one heart, looking for the Holy Ghost to be poured out. Supplication and prayer, says the men and the women in Acts 1, 14 and 15. And when the Holy Spirit came, look what happened. It will always happen. It will always happen. They were all filled. They all spake with other tongues. And then Peter stood up. And what did he preach? The power that was spoken of in Luke 24 was poured out on the day of Pentecost. And they went to preaching that gospel. Now would you read on to verse 39.
All right. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, You men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. And your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that on whomsoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Hold a minute. That's the book of Joel, chapter 2. It said, when this power comes, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, shall be delivered. That's all that's necessary to be saved. But let's go on. There's more here.
You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, and neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance.
Psalm 16, prophesied by David, the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Went to hell, won't leave my soul in hell. Read right after that.
Men and brethren, let me...
After soul
went to hell.
Right.
Neither shall thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption.
You know what's incredible? His body, 3 days in the hot sun in Jerusalem, so they said, never saw corruption. You know why? The power of God, the gospel, was upon that body. He never saw corruption. Now, the next one.
It says, men and brethren.
Nope.
No, still that thou hast made known to me the ways of life.
Wait a minute. There is a resurrection.
Right.
There is a resurrection. He was raised from the dead. Thank God. And the Father, by the Holy Ghost, made known to him the ways of life. Now, what's the next verse?
Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance.
Oh, when he saw the presence of the Father, he was full of joy.
Because God had forsaken him a couple days before.
Yeah, let him go to hell for
right.
me. How about you?
For me too.
Oh, good. I wonder how many out there will acknowledge that Jesus went to hell for them. If you do, you have to acknowledge he was raised again for you to see that joy in the countenance of God. What's next?
Men and brethren.
Now we're going. Men and brethren.
Let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, wherein we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
There you go. Did you know this gospel has just been preached in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, on Mount Carmel, Sea of Galilee, Masada? You just got through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's how you get a Jew saved. What's beautiful about this venue that we speak from? They can't stop us. We love them, and we're going to tell them, you need to believe this gospel. And everyone that God wants to open the heart of, every Jew, every Gentile, it doesn't matter. God will save you, deliver you. Look what happened. You will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Was it? Read that verse again, 39.
38. Then 38. Peter said unto them, Repent.
First, you got to repent. You got to change your will. And do what? Believe what was just read to you.
Right.
What was just spoken by my wife, by the Spirit of God. You didn't have a clue you'd preach the gospel to this many people in your lifetime. You're just speaking to the world.
Actually, God told me that this afternoon.
Oh, well, he didn't tell me that. How can he tell you something and not tell me? I'm playing that guy. I believe that. Amen.
He said this afternoon I would plead with America and the descendants of the people that came over here.
That'd be the Mayflower people.
The Mayflower, yeah.
Of which you're a descendant of.
But to plead with America.
And that would be the people, the descendants of Samuel Gordon,
right,
who was my ninth great-grandfather, amen, and plead with all the Davidsons that came and ended up in Virginia, plead with all their descendants. And God is letting you do all that. That is great. I rejoice. I do. Tell your mom and dad what you're doing. What's verse 38 again?
And Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Oh, in the name of Jesus. Baptized in water. In the name of Jesus. Then there's something there. What's next?
For the remissions of sins.
Remission of sins. Did you know when you're baptized in the water, in the name of Jesus, did you know what? The old man is crucified, baptized into the death of Jesus. That body of sin that causes men and women to sin. You cannot stop it. You get up every morning and shave it or paint it. It still sins. It cannot help itself. And then receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Now, I'll prove this to you in the days ahead, this week and back, that you believe this gospel, you'll be baptized in water in Jesus' name, you'll be baptized in the Holy Ghost next, or you believe this gospel, you will be baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking in other tongues, and then be baptized in water. You can do it either way. First, born again, or saved, Second, water baptism. Third, baptized in the Holy Ghost, or born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and baptized in water. It's in the book of Acts. And this is what, this is called the Acts of the Apostles, not the Acts of Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Boy, you got quiet over to the southwest. What do we do next?
There's one more verse in this.
Yeah.
For the promise is unto you and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
As far off, from the day of Pentecost till now, until Jesus comes, this promise is for you. How much time we got?
We are done.
We're through?
Just now.
You took up all the time. No sweat. Okay. When the black boys come, and let's worship God with recording of Terry Mai and the Water of Life congregation. Amen. Recorded a couple years ago.
I came to go.
God bless you. See you tomorrow night. Thank you.
We invite you to visit Water of Life Church at 1621 18th Street in Plano, Texas. Or for further information, call area code 972-578-8082. That's 972-578-8082. Or write Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861327, Plano, Texas 75086. That's Doyle Davidson, Post Office Box 861327, Plano, Texas 75086. This program was paid for by Water of Life Church.